Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only.
Ting.
Sextastic Tuesday.
Fucking snatch weasels.
Shit, get out!
No, oh my god!
Oh, crazy.
If you know that youngling, slap the shit out of him!
I'm a sucker for other people's pain.
Ah, that feels good.
Dick will make you slap somebody.
Hey, freaks, it's Tuesday, May 18th, 2010. Coming up on the program today, dildo fire starters. Plus, your wireless provider is a sex narc, and Jesus rode a stegosaurus across the ocean and founded America with his own two goddamn hands, and other things now being taught in public schools. All of this plus a brand new Sextastic Tuesday story and your voicemails on an extended edition of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, to mention with you, this right here is Distorted View Daily. Thank you so much for checking out the Tuesday podcast. Apologies, I guess, because yesterday there wasn't a Monday program. I was in Ashtabula, or Cleveland again. It was awful. But anyways, everything's okay right now, so that's awesome. And I'm back with a great show. Now, when I got home, I posted the Sideshow exclusive weekend program yesterday. So there was a Monday show for Sideshow freaks, I guess, kind of. But anyways, today I've got a great edition of Sextastic Tuesday. Not just one story. No. I've got two mini stories. They're very short and very stupid. Let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
So the first short story we're going to read today is titled, There's Rather a Lot of Them! ! All right, here we go. Mandy had grown another pair of breasts in the night. She had a double row of the things. So this was obviously written by a 12-year-old who likes boobies. Somehow she wasn't bothered by this, though. It was as if in a dream. All questioning of the universe was switched off. She just accepted it. They felt like her normal breasts, identically so. It was as if someone had taken a 3D Xerox machine and duplicated her upper chest. So I've got four breasts. Oh, good job I'm not a big girl, or I'd be twice as large. Ah, I am anyway. Oh. I have no idea what the hell that is supposed to mean. So I've got four breasts. Oh. Good job I'm not a big girl, or I'd be twice as large. Ah, I am anyway. Oh. Around 2 p.m. in a storeroom at work, Mandy fell asleep. She's not employee of the month, I'm guessing, falling asleep at work like that. And when she woke up a half hour later, she had eight breasts. Gosh, more of them. A doubling. I wonder if there's something going on here. You think? You know, you started off with two breasts. The first sign that I was sprouting a couple more pairs, I would be freaking out. Now you're up to eight, and you're just now thinking, wow, something's not quite right. There's something queer about this scenario. All right, so the bitch is up to eight breasts. Very exciting. Not the brightest of girls is our Mandy, but she gets to the answer eventually. By carefully leaning forward, she managed to hide her new additions and drove home strangely bland. Okay. Another little sleep at home, and what a surprise! 16 boobs! Overflowing her torso and running down her legs. Something new! All the breasts were bigger than her original pair. Again, no real emotion about this. Things just were. At about 9 p.m., another sleep. This girl sleeps a lot! I think you've got a problem. You might be anemic or something. Does anemia cause people to sleep? I don't know. 32 breasts now. On her shoulders, arms, all down her legs, all the breasts are bigger again, as if fighting for space. You couldn't see her chest for breasts, and most of the rest of her front-facing body was almost as bad. After watching some bland TV, he really likes that word bland, Mandy fell asleep at midnight. 64 breasts, after some careful counting with a bathroom mirror. All down her back, side, and front. The only place breast-free were her hands, feet, and head, and these were slightly swamped by the multiple orbs. The rest of her body was now submerged in a sea of breasts. She walked like a very bow-legged jockey. The breasts all up the inside of both her thighs getting in the way. Blandness. That's the whole sentence. Blandness, period. It was as if her personality was ebbing away. Somehow she knew this was the end, and that when she fell asleep, she wouldn't wake up. She didn't care, though. Really? Why didn't you go to the doctor? 32 breasts ago. Or 64 breasts ago, for Christ's sakes. 3 a.m. Just don't go to bed. That's the thing. Just stay awake for a while until you figure out what the hell's going on. 3 a.m. She fell asleep standing up in front of the TV, not being able to rest comfortably in any other position. She's not like a fucking cow or horse or something. Watching an old black and white film. Soon there were some gentle and soft bouncing sounds. It was the sound of 128 breasts settling into a heap. A heap of breasts only, not of girl. Wow, what a weird little freak who wrote this story. A heap of breasts only, not of girl. Of Mandy, there was now nothing. Before long, there were little popping sounds as one by one the breasts disappeared. Eventually, the film played on to an empty room. Dun, dun, dun! Honestly, what was the purpose of that story? You know what I mean? Why make all these boobs and then just to kill her off? No explanation of what happened. She didn't even play with her boobs. It wasn't very sexual at all. I guess if you're just a fan of breasts, might make you a little excited. All right, the second story I have for you today, I don't know if any of you guys are into anime. I don't know much about it, but apparently there's a, I don't know if it's a TV series or what, called Vampire Knight. So this is a piece of fan fiction. It doesn't matter, though. You don't need to know these characters because the writing is so awful, you'll be amused even if you don't know the characters. All right. Zero, Yuki said with a sad face. I think we should break up. I don't know if we should be together anymore. Zero was shocked when she said that. He couldn't believe that she would say that, but they have been through so much together. Yuki, what are you talking about? Why do you want to break up? Zero was too shocked of what she said that, without thinking, walk up to Yuki and look at her, and take her into his arms and hold her as hard as he can. Then he tried to kiss her, but she pushed him away from him. Yuki was so mad at the fact that in his room on the bed that he was kissing some other girl when she was away for 2 weeks. Zero pulls Yuki back into his arms and tries to kiss her again. Yuki, open your fucking mouth! Yuki pushed Zero away again and takes some steps away from him. No, I don't want this and I don't want you no more, she started to cry. Zero was so shocked. I don't know why it's so hard to come up, you know, in shock. Zero was so in shock. Or shocked. Alright, Zero was so shocked when she said that to him that he couldn't say anything. I don't want to be with Zero. I am your girlfriend, and you cheat on me with some girl that you don't even know. You hurt me so bad that I just can't kiss you no more. Yuki was crying. All I see is you and her kissing, and it makes me sad because I'm the only one that can kiss you and be with you. Zero was so surprised that he didn't know what she was talking about. Then he started to remember when that time when Yuki was coming back from her trip. She decided that she was coming over, but some random girl came into his room and started to make out with him. But the thing was that he never knew that Yuki saw it, because if he had known that she was there, he would have talked to her about it, so that what happened wouldn't happen. Let me just explain what I believe happens here in the next few paragraphs, because I can't read this whole thing. All right, Yuki's pissed, right? Because Zero was fucking around with some other broad. But what Yuki didn't see was the fact that Zero pushed this other random girl that started making out with him away, right? She threw herself on Zero, and Zero was like, no, and pushed her away. All right. So now Yuki and Zero are kind of okay now because Zero's explained what has happened. And I guess Zero takes her back home. Zero picked her up and put her on the bed and went on top of her and started to make out. Zero was trying to make Yuki feel good because of everything that happened today. So he'd take off his shirt and then he'd take off hers too. Then he started to lick her breasts. Then he moved one of his hands to unbutton her jeans. When her jeans were loose, he moved his hands down in them. His cold fingers made their way to her thing. Again, I'm pretty sure a 12-year-old wrote this. Her thing. His cold fingers made their way, by the way, there is spelled T-H-E-R-E, to her thing. Zero didn't want to hurt her, so he moved one of his hands to her face. Yuki, do you want me to continue? Because if you don't, I can stop right here. Yuki shook her head. Zero was happy that she wanted to continue. So he moved one finger into her, deeper and deeper in her. Yuki could barely take it. She caught herself making a little noise every time he pumped his fingers in her. Zero! Ah! Then he took his fingers out of her to unbutton his jeans. He pulled off his pants, then peeled off Yuki's pants too. He crawled back over and grabbed her hips to wrap them around his waist. Yuki could feel his hard thing touching her thing. Zero. Yuki wanted it to go in all the way, but was scary to say it. She was too shy to say it because she thought that Zero was going to laugh at her, but she was wrong. Zero, I don't know how to say this, but can you put it in all the way? What guy's going to be like, no, I only want to stick the tip in. Of course, guys want to go balls deep. Come on. All right. Zero gave her a smile, then closed his eyes and thrust it into her as fast as he could, not to make it hurt. That's the best way to not make it hurt. Just jam it in as hard and fast as possible. That's the Tim Henson method. All right. Back to the story here, whatever this thing is. Yuki moaned very loudly. Her nails was going in Zero's back. Yuki, are you okay? Did I hurt you? She quickly shook her head. Please, keep going. Oh. Then he pulled it out a bit, then thrust it in deeper. In his minded, he was saying that she feels so good. Zero was hitting that same spot again and again, harder and faster, until they both couldn't stand it anymore. Yuki, I'm coming. Zero, let's come together so that we can be one. Zero and Yuki moaned together and came at the same time. Zero and Yuki were breathing hard, they both holding each other. Zero, I love you. He smiled at her and say, I love you too. She was so happy that they're together and that she find out that she loved him even more before. Then she saw that Zero fell asleep. Ha, I knew that you loved to sleep, but you could have said goodnight. But you look so cute when you sleep, she said with a smile. Then she closed her eye asleep. She only has one eye now. Then she closed her eye asleep right behind Zero. The end. That, my friends, is your Sextastic Tuesday for May 18th, 2010, brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. They've got an amazing deal for you. You can get 50% off just about any item if you're into movies of the adult, not porn. Porn is too trashy. Adult is classy. They're adult films. Or lingerie, sex toys. I don't know how to make that sound classy. But yeah, I mean, they've got tons of stuff. You've heard of Adam and Eve, right? They're a huge company. Anyways, go on their website, find something you like. Then, during checkout, use coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K. You're going to save 50%. That's half off that item. Then you're going to also get free shipping, 3 free adult movies, and a super secret special gift. All for using coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K, at checkout over there at AdamandEve.com. One of the few brave companies that not only wants to sponsor Distorted View, they specifically wanted Sextastic Tuesday. Now check this shit out. If you go to AdamandEve.com right now, you'll see on their main page, oh look, Oh, 10% off vibrators by using coupon code STROKER or some bullshit like that. That's a chicken shit discount. They're giving you guys, my freaky deekies, the good discount. 50% off just about any item using coupon code FREAK. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, and fucked up news right now. Yes, if you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, sign up right now. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. SuperFreakSideshow.com. Today I have an extended show for you guys. Yesterday I posted an exclusive program. So if you want both of those things, plus this weekend's Butt Fudge Sunday, and access to the complete archive of shows, sign up right now, SuperFreakSideshow.com. Again, it's only $5 a month or $50 a year. I still have lifetime memberships available. That way you'll never have to worry about reoccurring payments. All the information is up on the website, SuperFreakSideshow.com. All right, three quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here. The world's oldest dildo was also used to ignite fires. Hopefully not at the same time. Your sex is on fire! Right, Kings of Leon? The world's oldest sex toy was more than just a feel-good aid. The 30,000-year-old siltstone phallus doubled as a tool to ignite fires. The racy relic was Why doesn't AdamandEve.com sell this? Sounds like a description of one of their products. The racy relic was found in a cave in Germany and is being studied at the University of Tubing-something. The find was a rare one, since examples of masculinity from that period are unusual to stumble upon, although female-inspired works of art are rather common. Of course, it's always about snatch, chasing after pussy. The prehistoric phallus, which has marks where it was obviously used for striking against flints or pussy walls, also features carved rings around one polished end. Researchers say it's easy to see what it was used for.
I feel it in my fucking cunt.
Ding, ding, ding. Scientists pieced together the multitasking tool from more than a dozen fragments found in a cave complex, linked with activities not of the Neanderthals, but of modern humans. The sex toy is estimated to be at least 28,000 years old, and apparently had been discarded after being broken.
Great! My goddamn dildo broke! Now what am I going to use to fuck my twat and start dinner with?
So the sex toy is 28,000 years old. There's no evidence as to how it broke. Well, jealous boyfriend, frustrated spinster, ugly horny broad wore that thing out. The secret may be safe with early cave dwellers. So there you go. Unga bunga. All right, second story we have for you today. A Toronto woman says the billing practices of Rogers Wireless led to her husband discovering her extramarital affair. Now the woman, who is pissed off and whose husband walked out on her, is suing the communications giant for $600,000 for alleged invasion of privacy and breach of contract, the results of which she says have ruined her life. What a cunty little slutbag.
I feel it in my fucking cunt.
Yeah, you certainly did. But it's not your fault. Don't take any responsibility for this. In 2007, Gabriella Nagy had a cell phone account with Rogers, which sent the monthly bill to her home address and her maiden name. Her husband was the account holder for the family's cable TV service at the same address. There's too many facts being thrown around here. Around June 4th, 2007, he called Rogers to add internet and home phone service. The following month, Rogers mailed a global invoice for all of its services to the home that included an itemized bill for Nagy's cell service. According to the statement of the claim filed in Ontario Superior Court of Justice, when Nagy's husband opened the Rogers invoice, he saw several hour-long phone calls to a single phone number. Put the pieces of the puzzle together. And what does it all add up to, sir? That your wife is a...
bitch. 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 Bitch.
Exactly. Nobody does business this way, and he's not stupid, says Nagy, who is in her 30s. He called the number, spoke to the third party. who confirmed the affair, which had lasted only a few weeks, as if, you know, that makes it any better. Nagy said, "My husband didn't tell me that's how he found out. He just left." Smart man. The husband used the previously private and confidential information that the defendant unilaterally disclosed to the husband to inquire about the people that the plaintiff was telephoning and the nature of such calls. Holy shit, I didn't understand a goddamn word I just read there. The statement alleges Rogers unilaterally, they love that unilaterally word, it's almost as good as bland, unilaterally terminated its cell contract with the plaintiff that had been in her maiden name and included it in the husband's account that was under his surname. The plaintiff's maiden name... in a statement of defense, Rogers denies it terminated the contract and says the company, quote, cannot be held responsible for the condition of the marriage, for the plaintiff's affair and consequential marriage breakup, nor the effects the breakup has had on her. Rogers is not the cause of these things. The marriage breakup and its effects happened, or alternatively, would in any event have happened, regardless of the form in which the plaintiff and her husband received their invoices for Rogers' service in July 2007. Okay. Now take a listen to this bitch's sob story. Cue the violin music, please. After her husband left her, he ran away from her. And their two children, ages 6 and 7. Can you believe it? Just two little kids? What a monster! She was so distraught, her work performance suffered. And she lost her job as an apartment rental agent that had paid her almost $100,000 a year until she was let go in October. The plaintiff wept uncontrollably at her workplace and became incapable of performing her employment duties. Nagy discovered how her husband found out after Rogers left her a voicemail in late August advising that it was about to terminate her cell service because of unpaid invoices. That's when she learned Rogers had terminated her account in her maiden name and included it in the global account. Rogers says the invoices were sent to Ms. and her husband's surname. I lost everything. Oh, wait a second here. Let's cue the violin music again. I lost everything. I want others to know what a big corporation has done. I trusted Rogers with my personal information. We had a contract, an agreement that put my life right in their hands. All right. Very good. Drama queen. After she terminated her relationship with the third party, the dude she was blowing, in August 2007, the jilted lover, himself a married father of three, called Rogers and obtained her secret password to her voicemail and used it to access it to harass her and taunt the husband. I gotta tell you, I don't think privacy is Rogers' number one concern. They're not very good with it, but that's something they can work on, right, Rogers? Okay. Rogers denies all of those claims, by the way, so there you go. And final story we have for you today. Everything's bigger in Texas, even the goddamn stupidity. Cynthia Dunbar,
bitch, 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 bitch.
She's kind of a bitch. Cynthia Dunbar does not have a high regard for her local schools. She's called them unconstitutional, tyrannical, and tools of perversion. The conservative Texas lawyer has even likened sending children to her state school to, quote, throwing them into the enemy's flames. Her hostility runs so deep that she educated her own offspring at home. Love to see how that went, and at private Christian establishments. Now Dunbar is on the brink of fulfilling a promise to change all of that, or at least point Texas schools toward salvation. She is one of a clutch of Christian evangelists and social conservatives who have grasped control of the state's education board. That can't lead to good things. This week, they are expected to force through a new curriculum that is likely to shift what millions of American school children far beyond Texas learn about history. Oh, no. The board is to vote on a sweeping purge of alleged liberal bias in Texas school textbooks in favor of what Dunbar says really matters. A belief in America as a nation chosen by God, as a beacon to the world, and free enterprise as the cornerstone of liberty and democracy. She says there seems to be a denial that this was a nation founded under God. We had to go back and make some corrections to history, apparently. Those corrections have prompted a blizzard of accusations of rewriting history and indoctrinating children by promoting right-wing views on religion, economics, and guns, while diminishing the science of evolution, the civil rights movement, and the horrors of slavery. We'll just skim past all that unpleasantness.
That's racist!
No, it's not racist, because racism doesn't exist. At least according to Texas school books. America is a utopia! Alright, several changes, including sidelining Thomas Jefferson, he wasn't that important to this country, who favored separation of church and state, while introducing a new focus on the significant contributions of pro-slavery Confederate leaders during the Civil War. The new curriculum asserts that, quote, the right to keep and bear arms is an important element of a democratic society. Study of Sir Isaac Newton is dropped. What, was Isaac Newton too controversial? Christ! Study of Sir Isaac Newton is dropped in favor of examining scientific advances through military technology. There is also a suggestion that the anti-communist witch hunt by Senator Joseph McCarthy in the 1950s may have been justified. The Education Board has dropped references to the slave trade in favor of calling it Atlantic Triangular Trade, and recast the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as driven by Islamic fundamentalism. There is a battle for the soul of education, said Mavis Knight, a liberal member of the Texas Education Board. Must be lonely up there, huh, Mavis? They're trying to indoctrinate with American exceptionalism, the Christian founding of this country, the free enterprise system. There are strands where the free enterprise system fits appropriately, but they have stretched the concept of the free enterprise system back to medieval times. Dunbar-backed amendments to the curriculum that portray the free enterprise system, by the way, there's no mention of capitalism because that's deemed to be a tainted word, as a cornerstone of liberty, and argue that the government should have a minimal role in the economy. One amendment requires that students be taught that economic prosperity requires minimal government intrusion and taxation. The blizzard of amendments has produced the occasional farce. Some figures have been sidelined because they are deemed to be socialist or un-American. What era are we living in? One of them is a children's author named Bill Martin, who wrote a popular tale called Brown Bear, What Do You See? Martin was purged from the curriculum when he was confused with another author with a similar name, one who wrote a book called Ethical Marxism. There is not enough money in the world for you to pay me to move to that fucked state. That's Scaryville, Texas, over there. Woo! That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, let's see what my freaks are up to.
Good day, Tim. Smizzy calling in from Lexington, Kentucky. Proud sideshow freak. I was just listening to some old episodes of Cheryl Murkowski's Whorehole.org podcast, and I'm not sure, but I think Cassie, is that Katie's sister?
Cassie
she was
Hope.
14, so it was a couple years ago, but Cheryl was interviewing for a job at her daycare center, and this Cassie girl sounded almost like Katie, and it was just freaking me out. And
I don't know.
You know, I never found out if she got the job or not at the daycare center. And
well, maybe Cheryl Murkowski can call in and give us an update.
Hey, Tim, guess who?
BSP.
And guess who's working for the census now? That's right. I've got a job, albeit however temporary.
Right.
And
yeah.
Unfortunately, they have failed to pay me twice, so they owe me about $2,000. But I'm still working, kind of.
Well, that's good.
But the main reason I called was to let you know that I've got one of my distorted view patches. Remember those from way back?
Yeah.
I've got that stapled or whatever I did to the side of my bag. I don't even remember because I was high at the time.
Oh.
And, yeah, I'm rocking DV, spreading the distortion door to door, and I just thought you might want to know.
Absolutely. So, thank you so much for a little STD action.
Hey, queer.
Hi.
Scotia from Thunder Bay.
Scotia.
This week, Andrew and I had a funeral to go to for his grandma, and it was, once again, a religious funeral. I was just listening to today's podcast. And, our priest was weird, too, when he was going off. First off, I don't like the fact that they talk about the deceased for about 5 seconds and the rest is all about Jesus. But then, oh my God, it got made up for because he kept on talking about how Jesus was pitching a tent for this, pitching a tent for that.
Yeah.
So fuck, it was awesome. And we couldn't ask because
Jesus
was
rocking a boner.
Funeral, but we really wanted to. Bye.
All right, thank you very much for that.
Hey. What, man?
By the way, at the end of the last show, when I was playing the clip of my mom and dad on the phone, someone made the comment that my mom called the drink white ones when she was referring to her white Russians. Three little white ones.
Faggot son of a bitch.
What?
Swallowing, spitting, sucking in the mouth, and dick sucking, swallowing son of a bitch. Where the fuck have you been? Where are the shows and where's everything else? You haven't gone all Stephen Baldwin on us, huh? Did you go all Stephen Baldwin? Oh, Timmy. Timmy, I'm so sad. I'm so disappointed in you.
I know, right? It's exactly what happened.
Hey, Tim. I'm just driving around listening to the May 11th episode, the Sextastic Tuesday.
Right.
And I'm on my way to a baseball game, and you successfully gave me a boner with that Sextastic Tuesday. So I'm just sitting in the car waiting for it to go down, and I thought I'd call you.
Waiting for it to go down.
Hey, TJ Boo, get him Steve Dave here. I'm just listening to the show, and you're talking about an element that does nothing and no one has a use for. Could that be distortium?
Jagoo! Ooh, distortium. That's a good one.
What, man? Timmy Boo, where the hell have you been? Where the fuck are the shows? You fucking faggot cock sucking dick swallowing
really?
Suck, spit sucking son of a bitch motherfucker.
I feel like...
nigger. Take it in the ass, son of a bitch.
Okay, alright, thank you.
You're a fucking fag. So is Tone Dev Sean and everyone else. Fag.
Oh, okay. At first I thought he was being serious, but then I say that on the show?
You're a fucking fag. So is Tone Dev Sean and everyone else. Fag.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, this is special member Stinky Asian here. So I was giving you a list of the podcasts that I listen to because I'm that far behind the show. I listen to the All Poutine All the Time Radio.
All Poutine Mail Review.
Bunny Crush Audio over and over again. And Wing was on South Park.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, Tim, it's Chickadee. I wanted to tell you about some PNB that I saw today. So I'm at the grocery store, there's this nice little black family, and their little black girl is carrying a gallon of milk on her head. I don't know why they're still in America, because they obviously miss their homeland of Africa.
Racist.
So, TNB?
All of
Bye.
You are racist. Alright, and finally today...
Hey, what's up, Tim? This is Eric from Kansas. I was just listening to the... Sideshow extended portion of the April 20th show.
Yeah.
About the with Ginger from American Ecstasy, the old 80s porn network or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I heard her say something about sending like $399 for that black for the box thing, the de-scrambler.
Right.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of money. And I looked it up on an inflation calculator. And like in 1985, $400 like today would be worth $786.
That is crazy. But I think the way that that business model was set up was you purchase that crazy expensive box and then you don't have any monthly fee. So that was like the life of the channel.
And I thought, man, that's a fucking lot of money. And I look at a lot of fucked up porn all the time, and it's
I know.
Free.
I know. We take that shit for granted.
I just kind of feel bad for
we live in an amazing time, my friends, where porn is practically free.
Spend fucking $800 to
pay for your internet
porn
access.
Jesus Christ.
America is a utopia. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. A voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-66. Oh, God, is it no God?
Bitch. 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 Bitch.
All right, that never gets old. Subscribe via iTunes. Spread the distortion. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, we will see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been. Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been this delight.
People getting me angry here. Tarık mısın?